Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International, and we're looking forward to our time together with you today as we talk about more principles in building a happy home, a marriage that's heart to heart.
Today we're going to be talking about forming common goals, so we hope that you have a paper and a pencil, and as we talk about this subject, that you will take notes so that you can form those goals in your home too.
You know, some of these goals are so basic, they get missed. I mean, that's how it was for us early on. We didn't recognize some of the things that we needed to be talking about or setting goals for. It seems like for many, the workaday push and trying to make a living just swallows up time. It swallows up life. And so to take the time to sit down and form common goals isn't often happening in marriages.
We tried to talk about thinking we had formed common goals, but they really weren't very many started when we first got married.
That's right.
I mean, they were pretty generic and not specific.
That's right.
What our plans were.
You know, it was interesting that a top executive from a very large company, and he was very successful, he called me on the telephone and he began talking to me, and he's sharing with me, you know, I do all these things. I govern all these people. I have all this, you know, millions of dollars that I'm responsible for. And he says, the people love me here. I'm very respected. And you remember the story. I mean, he was doing everything right in his company. And he was telling me that he had all these goals that he set, and, you know, he's got these evaluations to find out how the company's doing, and they're meeting all of their marketing goals, all that stuff. And then he says to me, so why am I calling you? He said, here I have all this experience, and I'm being successful here in this company, but I'm not being successful in my own home. I'm struggling with knowing how to have these kinds of goals and objectives and evaluation process in my day-to-day life, in my own marriage, my own family, my own finances. And I think that this top executive is not so much unlike all of us. If we don't make time, if we don't take time to really formulate or form these goals, then life is going to crowd out the most important things for a marriage and a family.
Well, that's what we found happening to us, and I think it happens to a lot of people. Life is so busy. There's so many things to do.
Right.
I mean, we came back from our honeymoon and we started work the next morning.
We just dived right into
That's right. We're both working full time. We have, you know, responsibilities. We're under stressful careers, and it's just all consuming. And so you just get through each day and then, you know, make it to the next day, and to the next day, and to the next
day.
And we don't really look that far out in the future. Or if we do, it's just to a short distance. It's not out where we really need to be looking at our lives ahead of us and what are we going to do with our lives, because we're consumed by life.
Yeah, it was interesting as I talked with him. And he was very open, very honest, and I appreciated his vulnerability, especially in the position that he was in. But you know, as he was asking me for encouragement and some words of advice on how to proceed with his family, he hadn't made goals in some of the most basic things. And that's what we began recognizing in our own experience, that we had not made the goals in some of the most basic areas of our life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're just simply going to be sharing with you some of the things that came to us and how the Lord began to work in our lives in this area.
Another thing that we found is that the goals that we did have were temporal. And we need to set those temporal goals. I mean, we talked about when we could afford to buy our first home and when we should change out the car and get a new car or an updated car, newer car than what we had. And those are temporal goals, and we need to talk about those. But there's goals far beyond that that we need to be looking at that are the most important goals in life. That is, where are we heading spiritually? Where are we going to end up for eternity?
Yes.
That's the goal that we really need to be tuning into. And I think for you and I, in our marriage early on, we were not aware that, you know, I mean, we had the goal. Someday we want to be in heaven, right?
That's right.
That's where everybody wants to end up in heaven.
I hope so.
And so that's a goal we have, but it was out there somewhere. I'll use the word nebulous. It's like, okay, we go to church every week. We participate in certain activities in the church. And therefore, that's just almost like it's considered an automatic, mm-hmm. that's where you want to be. Or I'm a basically good person, you know, I don't steal from my neighbor and that kind of thing. So, well,
right.
I want to be in heaven. But what does it really mean? What is heaven like? I mean, we have to start looking at these goals and making them practical and making them real in our lives.
That's right. And for us, and I thank the Lord for what began to happen to us, because one Friday night, one quiet Friday evening, in the midst of our busyness, and when I talk about busyness, we were both in our professional careers, and both of us were very active in our church work, involved in giving Bible studies. I was a personal ministries director of a very, very large church, 1,300 members. And so we were busy people, weren't we, honey?
It seemed like we were busy all the time, from the time the alarm went off in the morning until we fell into bed at night, which was quite late.
And part of our busyness, quite honestly, part of our push and pressure of life was the same as many of you are experiencing. And that is trying to answer all these other people's goals, okay? You've got the goals at your work, and you've got the things that you have put on you when you accept responsibilities in your church, and you've got community things, and you've got all these different activities. And
family
what it begins,
needs.
Yeah, and what happens is it begins to really squeeze out the real deep family needs, mm-hmm. and we find ourselves on the run. And that's why I said this quiet Friday evening. We were sitting at home. At that time, we just had our two little girls. Josiah wasn't born yet, and we were sitting there together. The girls were just playing together in their little footy pajamas. I remember that scene. And I asked Elaine this question, and it wasn't something I'd been thinking about, and I really believe that in looking back, this was something the Lord put in my heart. I said, "Honey, what's the most important thing that you can accomplish in this life?" And I remember when I asked you that question, I mean, it seemed like I didn't even know where it was coming from. And it wouldn't have surprised me. You were just finishing up your bachelor's degree. If you would have just said, "Well, I think maybe I might get my master's degree in nursing." I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me at all. But that's not how you responded.
Well, I have to say that when you asked me that question, it took me back. I mean, it caught me totally off guard.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having good communication and enjoying the evening, enjoying our children, just sitting there watching them play, and they were happy, and, you know, it was just such a close family time. I was just soaking the whole environment in. And for you to come off with a question like that, it's like, wow, where did that come from?
It's a pretty heavy question, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I didn't answer you immediately. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
When you ask me a question, I usually answer you very quickly. Even if I'm not sure of the answer, I'll try to
right.
at least respond to you. But that evening, I just sat there quietly.
Mm.
And what happened in those moments of silence is I believe God took my thoughts back to just that evening, how beautiful it was. I mean, the stress was gone. Mm. We were together as a family. I was really tuned into the children. You and I were having great communication.
Yes.
All these things that were more rare than, you know, everyday real.
That's right.
And as I thought about that, and I looked at our children, and I saw, you know, the joy that they had, the simplicity, the trust,
yes.
the security, the love that was there, I just thought, I want to see our children in the kingdom of heaven. That was a thought I had. And so I said to you, to see our girls in the kingdom of heaven, and to see them receive the crown of life.
And when you said that to me, you know that I didn't have a very quick response either. When she said those words to me, to see our children in the kingdom of heaven, to receive the crown of life, oh, it hit me. Here I was, involved in all these Bible studies and in church work and personal ministries director, and I was honest-hearted. I wasn't a hypocrite. We weren't living hypocritical lives. But it just hit me, and I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, because what struck me in that moment was, then something's got to change. Something's got to change. And I realized that it's us that has to change. And it just hit me that night. But the exciting thing was, God didn't leave us there that night, did he? Because before we left that evening, we got down on our knees before the Lord. And we made a commitment that night. We knelt together and we made a commitment. And I said to my Heavenly Father, I will go anywhere. I will give up anything. I will do whatever you ask me to do. If I can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and see the crown of life placed on the heads of my children. And we've never turned back from that day.
No, we haven't.
And our lives began to change that day. And oh, what a blessing as we look back, now the ages that our young people are, to see that God began that work that night.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go from there to where we are without some choices.
That's right. I remember that night when you said that to me, then something has got to change. You said it with such conviction, such force.
That's right.
That, wow, it's us. I mean, it's us that has to change.
Yes.
The realization that the way we were living, just going to church and doing things with good intentions and a love for the Lord the best we understood, that there was real change, because you and I both knew that we really weren't living Christ-like lives, because we still had too much self in us.
Yes.
And we knew the little struggles that we had between us, and sometimes the little struggles I had with the children. And when you said that we were the ones who had to change, that was very impactful to me.
Well, it struck me because I hadn't been thinking about anything like that. In fact, we had been so busy, as many of you are in this time in Earth's history, as we were so busy doing good things. We were looked up to in the church. We were just a young family. We were looked up to for all the work that we did and our enthusiasm. And as I said earlier, we weren't hypocrites, were we? We were doing the best we understood. But the difficulty was, and the eye-opening part of it that night for us was, we were doing all these things, but God began to show us that we were doing it in our own strength. We weren't understanding the power of Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to deal with my irritation towards you. I didn't know how to deal with something. We'd be given a Bible study. Remember that one night mm-hmm. we gave a Bible study on consecration, and the people, they surrendered themselves, and we saw them baptized, and what a blessed privilege to lead them to Christ. But do you remember what we were doing all the way home that night?
Yes, we were arguing. I remember arguing.
We were at each other. And the Lord just began to open our eyes that we were not who we thought we were. And I tell you, friends, that at that point, God began to show us that we needed to set some goals. If we really wanted to see our children receive the crown of life, if we wanted to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, we needed to set some goals and make some changes. And we need to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the goals God began to show us that we needed to set to be a successful family, to have a marriage that's truly heart to heart. Stay with us.
Welcome back. We've been talking about forming common goals, and you remember that special Friday evening we were telling you about. Well, there's one other part of it that really struck my heart, and that is that God motivated us. He used our children to motivate us in our spiritual walk because we were consumed with life. And do you remember, honey, what I said? How good God was, that He could... He knew the chord to strike in my heart.
Amen.
That would turn my eyes fully on Him and make Him number one was my children.
Amen.
Because I wanted them above anything else to be in heaven.
Hmm.
And that night when you said that to me, then something's got to change, and that something's us, I realized that I needed to be different because I wanted my children to be in heaven. And therefore,
That's right.
God used my children, to motivate me, to motivate us for those changes. And so that night, that prayer of commitment, we begin immediately, and this is an important part, to begin immediately to make time. That night, we began to make time to look at the goals we had in life. First of all, we had to make the time, and secondly, we have to take the time. They're very different. We have to make it, plan for it, not let anything come in to take it away, and we take that time then, and we accomplish what we've set out to do, and that's to begin to form those common goals.
That's right. And we began then looking at these more life-changing and long-lasting goals that would make a difference to really see our children in the kingdom of heaven. They've continued to be a motivation to us both. So we want to talk about the goals that we set. Now, we could tell you many goals that we've set, but we're going to talk about three. And these are three of the most important goals and the most basic for us in our family. And these are springboards for you. We're sharing this with you so that you can have an idea of what we're talking about in our goal setting and forming these things that will last for a lifetime and by God's grace for eternity.
That's right.
So the first one for us was gaining and maintaining a vital connection to the power of God. Now, that may seem strange, maybe automatic, but we came to recognize that we did not have this vital connection. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It doesn't say he that knows Scripture. It doesn't say he that goes to church. It doesn't say he that professes. It says he that hath a Son hath life. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have that power working in us. We did not understand the practical power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-changing power. We did a lot of good work. We were involved in a lot of good programs, but we did not understand.
And our hearts were good. We wanted it.
That's right. We desired it. Mm-hmm. And that's why, again, we weren't living hypocritical lives. We were doing the best we could, but we just didn't have the power. We did a lot of gritting our teeth and trying hard. And what a difference when we began to set as our first goal was to gain and maintain a connection to the power of Jesus Christ. That meant we needed to change something in how we operate in our daily life. Isn't that right, dear?
Yes, because we talked about being in heaven. We wanted to be in heaven, wanted our children to be in heaven, but we had really no time for God, and I think that's the way it is in a lot of homes.
That's right.
God was pretty much cut out because we were just too busy for Him.
Or too busy doing things that we called things we were doing for God. And that is something that we know as we have worked with many families over the years in this ministry. This is not a struggle that just we had together. We recognize that if we are going to have a vital connection with God and maintain that connection, we need to take time morning by morning, that we would take time for prayer, real communion with God. You know, I used to get up just in enough time to get my breakfast, get a quick reading, and have a quick prayer, maybe a 5-minute prayer and out the door. And I'll tell you, those 5-minute prayers are not enough to sustain that vital connection with God. And my mind was racing with all the things that I had to do anyway. So we're talking about setting a goal, forming a goal that puts God first mm-hmm. in our lives, first in our marriage, and taking time to make His Word practical, taking time to have what we call two-way communion. It's not enough for us just to pour out ourselves to God. He wants to pour something back into us. He wants to commune with
That's
us.
Right.
And so that began to be our first and most important life-changing goal.
The second one we talked about was to have a happy home. Now, we had a happy home most of the time, at least what we understood happiness
yes.
to be.
As good as everybody else we knew.
That's right. And but it wasn't happy all the time.
Yeah.
Is that idealistic, that we can have a happy home all the time?
Well, it might sound idealistic, but I believe, and we believe together now like we have for years, that our homes can be a little taste of heaven. And we've experienced that. How many times have people come into our home, and one of the things they've said before they're there too long is, the atmosphere here is so peaceful. It's so restful. How does this happen? Well, I think we can have a little bit of heaven on earth.
Well, absolutely, because God wants our homes to be like we want to live forever.
Amen.
We don't want to have fighting and yelling and contention and discord here and then think we're going to live forever after happy there.
That's right.
What motivates us? What motivates our children? If they think that heaven is their final home or their eternal home, why would they want to be there if they don't find peace and happiness here in this home?
That's right.
This is the parallel. This is the mirrored image that we have the opportunity to develop that home. And
that's
that
right.
became a goal. It's interesting that we would set something so basic
That's
as
right.
a goal in our home. And for you listening out there, I mean, we've shared this before, and people said, wow, that's just so, I mean, so fundamental, so basic. I mean, we would have never thought about making that a goal in our home, in our lives, in our marriage. But we've missed it in the simple things. We think we understand them, we think they're in place, and we move over the top of them, and they're not being accomplished. And so for us to really put that as a goal in our home, that we were going to try to do everything we could to make our home a little heaven on earth.
You know, the day that Allison, our oldest daughter Allison, she said to us one day, and I know you'll remember this, I've never forgotten it. We were sitting at the meal table, and she said, you know, if there was no heaven to look forward to, I wouldn't want to live my life any differently than we live it in our family. She said, I love living life the way we live it in our home. Oh, I tell you, that broke my heart, because what more could a parent ask for? We want a happy home, and to see that fruit being borne out, is it worth making that kind of goal?
It has been, and you know that the little things that we've changed in our lives to accomplish that have been insignificant. There's been no loss of anything.
Right.
It's all been gain. Everything's been gain.
That's right. Well, we're telling these folks here about these goals. I think what they also need to know is that when we get together next time, we're going to be talking about more specifics on how we achieve these goals. Today, we're just trying to give you some ideas of goals that became important, foundational to us in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about how we really went after those goals and the specifics next time we get together. But you know, there's a verse that I remember, Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Could we say kindred? To
husband
dwell
and wife,
together?
Maybe?
Husband and wife? What a blessing to dwell together in unity. Is God asking too much of us to have a home that's a little bit like heaven? I don't think so. It's been a wonderful blessing in our experience.
The happier our home is here, the happier we are in our marriage, the happier our children are, our youth, our young adults, the greater and the more anticipation we have to heaven, because it's only going to get that much better.
That's right. Well, we better move on to number three.
Yes, we're just going to give you three. There's more that you can do, but this is just a little kickstart for you, we can say. The third area we wanted to establish in our home, the goal, was to parent in agreement. Because if we're going to have a happy home, then we have to be able to parent with agreement.
That's right. Romans 15:5 says, now the God of patience and consolation. Now, here we've got God described as being a God of patience, and that's what he's looking for. He can give us that patience as
that's
parents.
Right.
The God of patience and consolation grant you, that's us, grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Isn't that beautiful? God is wanting us to be like-minded. And as we talked about in our Sure Foundation, this is where, as we go to God's Word and find there the real principles, that's how we can become like-minded towards one another.
That's right, and it has been such a blessing in our home to have made this a goal in our lives, that we're going to parent in agreement, because you and I are
that's
much
right.
happier in this in our home.
Oh, absolutely. And it's made such a difference as we've gone to God's Word to look for those principles, to parent in agreement. It has drawn us together, and it's improved our communication. As we've been trying to be fair and train our children properly, it's been a training process for us.
Absolutely.
So that's exciting.
Well, we'd like to give you a personal challenge that you first make time to form those goals for your family in your marriage, and then that you take that time. It's not enough to make the time. We have to be there to take the time to accomplish it, to form those goals that will begin to change your marriage and make it heart to heart.
That's right. They've got to carve out time, because everything around us is working against us. You know, just everything's a push and pressure. So take that time. And right now, I think it would be great if we could take time just to go to God and ask Him to bless us in forming these common goals. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to come to You. We know that You can help us form common goals. As we give ourselves to You, Lord, as our viewers are contemplating the need in their own lives, give them grace and understanding that Your will can be accomplished through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'll look forward to seeing you next time as we talk about how we move from forming these common goals to setting the priorities. Two very distinct things. It's one thing to set the goal, isn't it, honey? It's another thing to make the priorities to really follow through. So we want to encourage you to be back with us next time where we talk about setting the priorities to make these common goals a reality so that we can have a marriage that's heart to heart with God and the one we love.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.